I'm going to ask for Jim Reed to come forward at this time. There's something you probably don't know about me, and I'm going to say it right now, and then you will, okay? And that's this. If there's a missionary who's present, or somebody who I really think is doing it for the kingdom in a different venue than here, I value them almost more highly than myself for just a lot of reasons. The risks they take, the work they do, it's amazing. Much different than I'm in the comfort of the United States. I've been doing this, you know, this is what I do. These are my kind of people, Americans. But I do honor missionaries for what they do. And when they have the courage to come across the sea and talk to us about what they do and encourage us and et cetera, I kind of give them a special hearing. I'm going to let Jim introduce some very special friends that are with us today. And then what I'm going to do is have Jim receive the morning offering for us. Jim, thank you.
Thank you. Those of you who have been here at Candlewood and had some connections with Oakwood are familiar with the English camps that Oakwood did for many years and are still doing in the Czech Republic. And they have, and we with the Oakwood have a sister relationship with a church, the Brno Evangelical Fellowship Church in Brno, Czech Republic, that have been doing these English camps. Now, today is the 20th anniversary of that church, but that church was founded by students who came to Christ through a student ministry now called Integrity Life. And if the last several years, when Beth and I disappear for periods during the summer, we've often been doing English camps with Integrity Life. And we are pleased to have Josef and Danka, who are the founders and directors of Integrity Life in the Czech Republic. And I'm going to ask them to come up. And since Matt has already preached Mike's sermon, Josef, you have 20 minutes. No. And so I just thought I would ask them just to briefly explain what they're doing with their student ministry in the Czech Republic.
Well, first of all, thank you for this warm welcome. And first, it's very special for us to be here with you, worshiping our Lord together with you this morning. What we do? The Lord called us to minister the university students in the Czech Republic. And that's basically what we do. We try to come to universities and meet the students, become friends with them, and tell them about the good news, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those who become Christians, we try to help them to grow in Christ, disciple them. And our goal is that they would be following him for the rest of their life. And they would either become involved with a local church, or they would be serving the Lord, starting new churches, or just helping us to put the ministry into other places all across the Czech Republic. So right now we have five different locations, five different cities where we have our permanent teams in the Czech Republic and Slovakia. And our dream and vision is that the Lord will allow us to go to most of the university places and even spread across the region of Central Europe.
Let me just ask, how did this start?
She's too shy because, yeah, she was very instrumental as far as the beginning of this ministry. Danka, my wife, she came to know the Lord as a university student way in the days of the communism. She was an exchange student from Slovakia to Poland. She met some Christians while she was a student, who later she learned are with Campus Crusade for Christ. And the Lord touched her heart and she became a Christian. After she finished her studies in Poland, she came back to Czechoslovakia. And she was called to move to the city of Brno for very, I would say, practical reasons, because her friends from Poland said, come to Brno, because when we go from Warsaw down to Vienna, they need to go to Vienna for shopping. At that time, they couldn't buy anything in Poland. And so we can stop in Brno, and we can encourage you. We can bring some books and literature for you, And so that would be very practical. She did that, and the first week after her move, the Lord sent five students to her. Unusual. To a girl, five guys. And she shared the gospel with them. All of them came to know the Lord at the spa. That was a miracle of miracles at that time. And it still is today. And one of those five also immediately started his own Bible study and sharing Christ with her friends. And I happened to be the first year student at that time, and I joined his Bible study. I was really hungry for God and his word. I knew there is a God, but I didn't really have a relationship with him. I even didn't know it's possible. And through the Bible study, gradually I became a Christian. And so later on, I met Danka, probably 6 months later, and she looked kind of special to me, but it took me only another 8 years to really figure out that I should marry her. And she became a very special friend during those 8 years, and we were really close partners in ministering to students. And gradually this little group of five grew into bigger group. So just for example, in 1985 there was five of us. 86 it was about 10 of us. 87 about 30. 88 about 60, and the next year about 100 120. It was really difficult with that kind of group to hide before the secret police, because it wasn't allowed to meet for Christians at that time. And so the Lord changed the political situation, and we could openly be meeting and really worshiping Him, learning from His Word, and spreading the good news. And we are doing that basically since that time up to today.
Well, thank you very much. I'll let you sit down and just think how Candlewood would grow if we had secret police. We don't have that obstacle, but what an example of faithfulness, totally sold out to God, and to see Him multiplying. And it's a challenge for us here, I think, that God could be doing that kind of work just through us here. So the ushers have already come forward. I'm just going to pray, and then I'll turn it back over to Mike. Father, we just thank You for this time, and just thank You for hearing how You worked and continue to work in the Czech Republic. You are a global God, and sometimes we get stuck with our little limited visions of what You're doing here. Father, what a great challenge to hear that You are at work all around the world. You love every person You have created. Father, give us a heart that is passionate for You, and passionate to see others come to know You. In Christ's name, amen.
As the offering is being received, let's just review a few things. If you've not been baptized, if you have been making strides with the Lord and feel an obedience to Him, you need to be baptized, please talk to me about that. We've got a nice group being baptized. You might want to join that group and be fun. Be a very enjoyable time for you, and it will be a propellant in your spiritual life as you're obedient to Christ and get baptized. It's going to be fun. We're going to pool party it and have a good time afterwards. There'll be several folks thrown in, and then after that I think it's a youth swim party, so we'll all be wet anyway, so just kind of neat. All righty? Also, I want to make mention to you the fact that if you don't have sermon notes this morning, you really need them. So if you could just pop your hand up real quick and somebody will make sure you get them. You're really going to need them this morning because we're going to do something in a minute. You really need a set of these. Just hand politely up and here they come. Just need to have that. Thank you for grabbing those. I don't say it enough, but I don't want you to miss this morning's notes. Obviously, you know that we're doing Summer in the Psalms with Mike. We're doing Old Testament all summer. It's been really rich and it's been good so far. Okay, thank you for doing that. Right up here, Sir Jay. That's John. Jay, right here, buddy. Jay needs it. Get it from John. Okay, everybody's got notes now. Good. Listen. Now, with that said, close your Bible. Put your notes inside your Bible. Some of you are already ahead, starting to fill in blanks on the outline. Shame on you. Close your Bible. Close your notes. Who's done that? Are you sitting next to somebody who does that? I love going to church and filling all the blanks before the pastor preaches. It just makes me feel like, okay, you like you win a prize. Don't do that. All right. Close that Bible up. Get everything off your lap. Get both your hands free. Here we go. The only reason I say this is because I need everybody to stand. Simple as that. All right. Now, do a little twirl around and notice who's around you, because this is going to become very important in just a moment, all right? Notice who's around. Not talk to them. Notice. Notice his eyes. Talk his mouth, okay? Notice who's around you. Okay, good. Now listen, you've got a minute or two to do this next exercise, and that's this. I need you to pick out another person, but listen carefully. Or it could be another two. I need this whole crowd to be in groups of two or three in the next couple of minutes. No four. It's not like communion where nobody can follow instructions about a small group getting together. Well, that ship has sailed. Today it definitely has to be two or three people in a group. Definitely has to be. Ready, set, go. Stand with them when you find them. Stand with them or sit with them, whatever's most comfortable. When you find them, I didn't say talking. The talking is not allowed through this whole exercise. That's good. I like it. Nobody listens. All right. You comfortable with that little group you found? You can sit, you can stand, it doesn't matter. You're going to go back to your original seat in just a minute, unless you've found a newfound friend and you think this is much better than the one you had before. Then you probably have to explain something to your spouse. All right, listen very carefully. Very important that you know their names. Now, I know some of you do know the names, but some of you might not know the names. So just look and give your name real quick to each other. Everybody's got that? All right? All right, that should be enough. You should have it memorized. Good. Here we go. This is what the assignment is that we're really driving to get to, and that is this. You, like I, over, say, the past month, let's just make it real short term, past month, have either read on news on the internet, have either heard from friends, have had something on TV with a special bulletin, or you have, you've seen a newspaper. I don't even know what a newspaper is anymore. But you have seen something that indicated what's going on in the world, United States of America or world at large, that could be scary to you, could be a little disconcerting, could be a little unsettling, could cause some worrying. Don't say anything. Think with me right now, put your finger on one thing. Out of the stories you've heard in just the past month, what is bothering you? What trend do you see that's been highlighted that just isn't good? What's something that's causing you worry? Maybe you and your family and maybe even grandkids or kids, and you're thinking, wow, I can't believe my grandkids got to grow up in this world. I can't believe I've got to grow up in this world. I'm hoping to do that in the next 10 years or so. That's kind of neat. Okay. With that said, think. Think with me. It's a mind exercise. Can you put your finger on one or two of the stories you've heard more recently and go, wow, that bothers me. That really concerns me. Have you got it? Okay. With that said, now take a minute or two and go around quickly in your group and share what that story or that headline is that bothers you. Go. Okay, about another 30 seconds. You're given headlines, not details and addresses. I don't know where that comes from. Okay, time. Shortest 30 seconds you've seen in your life. Good, time. Got it? Everybody looking up here? I'm going to look over here, right? Not to be rude. What'd you hear? What was the number one thing you heard that maybe is now put in your mind and now maybe you're scared too, all right? Anything over here? Over here. Yes? ISIS, okay. Terrorism every time gets your attention, all righty? Good. That's scary. That'll cause you all kinds of headaches. Anything else coming up? Excuse me? Skewed values. You're very good about that. I've said no values. Okay. Okay. Skewed. Okay. Off the mark. Good. I still like the word. Okay. Anything else? Not yet. I'm still over here. The economy. Economy. Yeah, that's a constant, no matter what. You got another one? Presidential elections. Still a year and a half away. And you're concerned about that. That's excellent on your part. Excellent. Didn't expect to hear that. Anything else driving somebody here I got to hear? Okay, thank you. Fast track, yeah, you got to like that. Thank you. You want to explain that for a minute, just a second, 30 seconds?
Essentially, Congress is trying to help give the president
right.
Complete powers on deciding economic trade agreements for the country.
Without reading or studying it.
Powers
yeah, okay. Good. Over here. Yes, ma'am.
Child trafficking.
And we happen to be living in an area where that is more of a predominant thing than we admit to, all right? But it's there. That is good, okay? Yes, dear.
The way our, well, not mine, because mine are perfect, obviously, but the way our kids are being raised and taught from the things that they're not being disciplined and legibly.
Skewed values,
exactly.
Okay, and the practices that follow it. Jeff?
War on police.
That's getting more predominant. Read your news, war on police. Some of you wear a uniform, you're now a target. Yes, sir.
Anti-Semitism.
We have seen that pop up in the past couple of years, and it should disturb you. Read your Bible, and it should disturb you. Jerry?
What concerns me is what's behind all
an indictment. I like it. Okay, good. Let's keep going. Anybody else? Anything? All right. Well, I'm bummed out, and I've lost the spirit to preach now. So what we're going to do is close in prayer and go home, all right? And we're going to lock our doors and turn off our lights. Or what are we going to do? Listen carefully to me. David looked out his door thousands of years ago and saw the same kind of stuff. He saw the ungodly running rampant. He saw the ungodly doing well. He saw the ungodly making money off of ill-gotten gain. He saw things in the culture, Kathy, that shouldn't have been honored, but now they were being honored. I never thought I would see a day in my life when a world-class athlete could decide to become a woman and start to get awards for it already. That should disconcert you as to how far off the track you can go. All right, not here to preach on that, but we're just going to let that drop, all right? Truth of the matter is David looked out his door and saw the same thing going on, and it bothered him. And listen carefully. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes a psalm that addresses this very thing. It was applicable in the day of David, and it has application today, and it will hundreds of years from now should mankind continue to exist. Isn't this cool? And we as believers get to see God's mindset on this whole thing. That's fantastic. Let's look at the scripture. You got your Bible? Psalm 37, verses 1 to 9. I will read it. Psalm 37, verses 1 to 9. How in the world, and if you need to move back to your original seat, feel free to do so. How in the world do you account for the fact that the ungodly and the lawless are doing very well? David looks out and it's bothering him, and look at what he writes under inspiration. I'm going to read these 9 verses for you. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Let's bow in prayer. And you bow in prayer, would you do this morning for me? As you bow your head right now, would you pray? And would you pray this way? Lord, teach me something this morning from you, from your word. Lord, where need be, rewire me this morning that I might be more like you. Father, the fears I've been having, I bring them to you. Soothe them this morning by the word that I'm seeing in Psalm 37. Would you pray that way this morning? Father, you do hear our prayer. And Father, you've written your scripture this morning right to our hearts as we live in a world that seems to be getting more and more evil and worse every week. Father, we don't see how this is going to correct itself without you. Father, give us the right attitude in the middle of this. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Right, you get your pen out. Going to take some notes. This is a sermon you might want to keep some notes on because it'll help you to adjust yourself as to where you should be in the middle of the world that we live in, which was much like the world that David lived in. You need to know that right now. Now, David was older. David was wiser. He knew that in the end the people of God win. He knew that in the end he was going to be in the presence of God. He knew that. But on the way there, he started to make observation of what was going on. Now, I'm going to do this several times this summer. Let me do it right now, all right? Watch this. You think the church today, which Jerry makes a great comment about the church today not doing their job, this is our DNA. This is our history. This is what we do best. As God's children, we come to believe in God. We come to trust in Jesus Christ. And then we seem to look around and go, oh, look at them, look at them. Watch. Here we go. I'll do a timeline for you. We're not the first group of people who have done this. Old Testament Israel, who's seen the power of God in the pillar of fire and in the cloud leading and in the manna and in the quail and the water in the middle of the desert and the leading and the Red Sea opening them going through and then the Egyptians come and it closes up and swallows them up. All of that, they saw all of that. And yet, what do they say? They want to be like the nations around them. You know why? Because they've got shiny gods, and they've got shiny toys, and they've really got cool stuff, and we've watched them, and we want to be like them. Can you imagine how God felt about that? All along, God's people have looked around at their neighbors, and what have they done? They said, I want to be like them. I want to be just like them. You take it up through the time of Jesus Christ, it was the same thing. You take it up through the early church. My goodness, the Corinthian church didn't look around and say, we want to be like them. The Corinthian church looked around and said, we're going to be like them, bringing a huge reprimand from Paul. Get to today and anywhere else along the way. The church is distracted by what's out there. Out there determines what I think in here, whether I admit it or not. Out there shapes me. I listen to their music. I'm talking about me. I listen to their music. I see their movies. I read their books. I read their magazines. I read their internet stuff. Are you with me? And all of that stuff affects me and pulls me a lot of times, in my thinking especially, away from the things of God to where I start going like this. Oh, I can see their point. I get it. I understand that. And once again, God's people are attracted and pulled. And hey, listen to me carefully. I want what they have, not just the stuff. It looks like they're doing really well. Do you know that in our country, nobody believed this, by the way, but in our country and our civilization today around the world, if you can put on an outfit and then have some specialists come by and make you up to look like something you're not, and then they'll put you in a fake scene, and then they'll film it, and you act like you did when you were in second grade before grandma and grandpa. And you play act whatever the scene is. La da 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 da. And at the end of that, you know what happens? They make a movie. And you're in it. And everybody goes like this. And applauds. And then they give out awards and statues for it. Hey, I'm not done. And I look at that and go, I want that. I love that. I wish people would clap for me that way. And we have these play actors who are in our culture called celebrities who don't know anything other than have somebody write lines for them and somebody to make them up and dress them up. And believe it or not, we're so skewed off of what should be that when we have something going on like world disease or a famine and Congress wants to hold a hearing and figure out what's going on, they don't ask the expert who's been over there for 40 years working in the famine or on the disease. They don't ask that person to come in. They get this 25 or 35-year-old Hollywood celebrity to come in and testify before Congress on something they know nothing about. Have you seen that? Does that not mean that something's skewed? And I look at all that from my perspective, and you know what? I want their applause. I want their awards. I want their certificates. I want to be noted. When I come in the door here, I want you people to start clapping for me. This is not funny. This is, I'm speaking from my heart this morning, all right? I want you to clap, all right? And then I want more of you to clap and clap a little harder. And then I'd like for you to stand and clap because Mike has come in the room. That would feel so cool. And hold it, I'm not done. And then if some of you, especially you leader types, all right, if you could somehow maybe drop to your knees as you did that, I would feel honored. Let's close in prayer. Okay. You know you're laughing, but the right person comes in that door of notoriety, you might do that. In our culture, it's prevalent because so-and-so is in the house. Listen, this morning we look at this scripture and we realize that there are some natural reactions that the child of God really has to what's going on around them. The shootings, the killings, the mistreatment of children, the people who are in need right in our own area, the things that are going on around the world between nations. I haven't brought up any nuclear events, any new kinds of bombs or technology they've got or any of that kind of stuff. But the more you study it, the more it's going to scare you. And the truth of the matter is, and you got your notes, the first point I want to look at is this. There are some natural reactions to fret and worry. And here they are. That word, look in verse 1. David says, fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. Truth of the matter is, that word fret means to really be scared. It means to get hot. It's almost like a heartburn. It means to fume. That fret. And it comes in two main areas. The first one is this. Look at your notes. It comes in the area of security. Security, why? Well, look in verse 1. There's evildoers around me who are doing well. Keep looking in verse 1. There are wrongdoers around me, people, and it is this way in the Hebrew, that do wrong, and they're a threat to me. Have you ever seen one of those security commercials? Have you seen one of those? I'm not going to mention names and advertise them, but those ones that put security systems in your house? You know how they do it? They don't come on with the pretty people and they're all sitting there nice and dressed good and say, hey, get our security system. You'll just love it. No, they don't do that. They show a commercial and there's a scene and then the scene, it's dark. Ooh. And you hear some of that in the background. Well, this is a commercial I'm writing, okay? And you hear of that in the background and there's dogs that are baying at the moon. Bah! Okay, and that's all going on, and you're laughing, but there's a little bit of wind, and the power's gone out in the house, and the wind is making shadows as the trees get blown outside, and there inside is a woman, and she's a wreck. She's full of worry, and she's got her little girl sitting there, and the little girl is just squeezing the heck out of a teddy bear, and you look and go, what's going on? And then you see him. He's outside the window, and you see a guy dressed all in dark and maybe a mask and a fancy little hat. I just threw the hat in for fun, okay? And there he is outside your window, and it looks like he's going to try to break glass to get in, and the woman and the kid are standing there, and what's going to happen? That's as far as you'd get in my house before I'd have a response, but that's, and some of you know what we're talking about there. But anyway, boy, that, and then they come on and say, with our security company, this person wouldn't live on your land. He'd be dead already. And we call the cops, and the siren goes off, and we're so peace and you get the idea, right? The fact of the matter is they play into your fear so that you can get a security system, which will give you a false confidence that you're all okay everywhere. The bottom line is I worry about my security. I worry about my security. I worry about my spouse's security. Believe it or not, I worry about your security as friends and family. I worry about my kids' security, and they're nowhere within 1,000 miles of me. I worry about my grandkids. You get the idea? And some of you are thinking, oh, my kids, and they're going to have grandkids, and look at the way the world is. Ah, the security. You got it, okay? Look at the second thing that's mentioned here in this psalm that I might want to fret and worry over, and it's in verse 7. Look at verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not. There's that word again. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. The second way that I might have a reaction, second reaction would be a success of evil. Hey, let me tell you something. Evil prophets. Does everybody know that? Do you know that smart people like me and you could get together? And you know what we could do? We could figure out a way in our free society called America. We could figure out how to make illegal gain. Do you know that we could do that? Have you ever had that thought? Am I the only one? Maybe I shouldn't be speaking this morning. I have come up with elaborate plans that would make millions of dollars in a couple of weeks. Somebody's going to come up to me after church and go, Mike, what'd you have in mind? But I many times have thought, you know what? I'm smarter than that law. I'm smarter than that. They wouldn't catch me. And there's people out there doing that left and right. From internet fraud to drug trafficking, even this child trafficking thing, which is horrible. There are people who are making money off of other people, off of them and hurting them. Evil is successful. Evil is making money. It's very simple that the people who don't know God or regard him seem to be getting rewarded for the life that they're living. When I first came to know Jesus as a teenager, you know what I thought? Watch how dumb I was, all right? I thought this. I thought when you come to Jesus, because I was told this by Christians like you, when you come to Jesus, you will be healed all the way around, physically, mentally, emotionally, hair, stay, the whole bit. You get the whole package if you trust in Jesus, all right? But on top of that, now your life will go smooth. And because you're a believer, God will bless you more than the other unbelievers that live around you. So the people around me are going to be going, boo-hoo-hoo, we don't have enough money to pay our bills. And I'm going to be sitting there flush with cash. I'm going to just wonder, what pocket do I need to reach in and maybe lend them another $10,000? Because I just keep it on me to that degree. And I was just in this environment where I was told that God would just bless me and give to me more than I could imagine. And I thought, you got to be kidding. More than I can imagine? Because I can imagine pretty big. God's going to give me more than that? I'm sold. I'm coming to believe in Jesus. Obviously, I came to Jesus and it wasn't that way. Did you find that out too? Now it seems like this to me. Here's what they should tell folks. It seems that you come to Jesus Christ. Here's what we should tell people. And you will indeed have the security of knowing you've got eternal life. And in the time of life you've got left to live, whether that be 5 minutes or 80 years, God's going to take and use you for his kingdom. You're going to be the most valuable servant of his. And you know what? Life's going to hurt, and for you it may hurt more. And you may go without some of the worldly needs and worldly goods, and that's completely fine. Because God, your ultimate shepherd, is going to take you home someday and bless you like you've never been blessed. He'll do that for all eternity. Somebody should have told me that early on, coming to Jesus could make things stink for a while. How big a while? The next 80 years I've got left. As far as material goods, bank books, cars, and etc. They should have told me the truth. Then now because of Jesus, you may have to have more pain. Simple as that. Nobody talks that way. We want to walk around happy, 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 and God meets all my needs, and yes, he does. But I don't get the other things I might want all the time. Not meant to. As he continues to mold me into Jesus Christ. And I look here, and I see in verse 2, I'm reminded of the fact that their run is temporary. Look at verse 2. For they, who's the they? The evildoers and the wrongdoers, they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb that has a real short lifespan. In fact, if you're talking desert vegetation, it means it pops up in the morning and by the noonday sun it's gone. Everybody there had seen this. It still goes on today in the desert. Stuff will pop up in the morning from the dew of the morning and by the midday sun be withered and be gone. And that's what we're talking about there. So if you're taking some notes, get some of this down. We as God's children must never forget that those evildoers and wrongdoers are under God's sovereign control and rule, whether they want to admit that or not. They are still under our God. And also this, that we as God's children must never forget that we can harm our own spiritual vitality by reacting wrongly to their situation, wrongly to their gains. And my anger, resentment, jealousy, lust, and coveting can hurt my spiritual walk, especially if I start to walk after the stuff that they're looking to walk after. In fact, fretting and worrying like this to this degree where it just focuses on me. I have people tell me almost every week, I can't sleep at night when I hear what's going on in the world. And I think to myself, that fretting's only going to lead to your ungodliness and your bad health. And it's going to thwart the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. So, some truths. Write these down. I need to live with my eyes open and realize that it seems like the wicked prosper in any and every culture and at any time in history. It just seems that way, so admit it. Admit that they're doing well. Admit that. Then also, let me keep going here, another truth. I need to always remember that I live on a planet where people's hearts are far from God. Generally speaking, people are away from God. The Scripture says that they don't know God. So I just accept the fact that not everybody around me knows God. Another one here. I need to have a godly reaction, already pre-programmed, about their success. And when they have success, I need to go to my pre-programmed godly reaction. And then last here, I need to have a godly heart that is focused in a certain way. And Psalm 37 goes ahead here and gives us that focus. You got your notes? Here we go, the second point. I've got a new natural reaction. I understand all that stuff's going on out there. I understand it's escalating. I understand it continues to heighten. And I've got a natural reaction because of the Holy Spirit. Stop right there. We got a few minutes left to go in this sermon. The biggest game changer going on in your life and my life is what? Is the Holy Spirit. The biggest game changer is the fact that when you came to know Christ, you got the Holy Spirit to come live in you. Do you think of that often? Do you understand that when you go out there with the Holy Spirit in you, it affects what you do because the Holy Spirit's in you? Do you understand you might not talk the same, act the same, desire the same things because now the Holy Spirit's in you? I used to have a youth pastor who used to say something that I thought was really curt. And now I've come to realize it was accurate. And he would say this, hey guys, when you go back to school this week, remember this. You take the Holy Spirit with you wherever you go. There were many times as a teenager, I would remember that. And you know what I need to do? I need to remember it as an adult. That I take the Holy Spirit with me wherever I go. This is basic stuff and I tend to forget it. And I tend to then start talking like my neighbors. I tend to start acting like my neighbors or my workmates without realizing I bring the Holy Spirit into this. And because of that, I'm going to act like Jesus Christ. Very simple, very true. Here we go. My new natural reaction, there's just a couple of them here. The first one is this in verse 4, is believe it or not, in light of this, I delight in the Lord. Sounds rather nice. Look at verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Wow, this has been the focus of so much bad teaching. How many of you have this plaque on your wall? How many of you have this on a coffee cup in the morning? How many of us have this on a picture in your house? Delight yourself in the Lord. Well, that's no big deal, but here we go. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Oh, there it is. The desires of my heart. Do you know what I want? This means I'm going to get what I want and whatever I want. Doesn't say that. Okay? In fact, verse 5 really clarifies a lot to you. Commit your way to the Lord. My way is committed to the Lord. The things I want are another story. I get a couple here who are visiting from out of the country. And what did they talk about? They didn't come over here to shop for the latest car, jewelry, the thing they could buy over here that they can't buy over there. They came here and shared with you the biggest thing on their heart, which, by the way, should be the biggest thing on your heart. And that is this, the glorification of God in every situation in your life and the growth of the kingdom by people coming to Christ. You got it? That's what should be on your heart as much as it's on their heart. That's what's exciting about this. It's not about what little bauble can I pick up here and take home and have and show off to my friends. It's about what the purpose is I've been put here on this earth with the years I've got left. And that purpose is to live full out for Jesus Christ no matter what the cost. I will say yes to some stuff because of it, and I will say no to a lot of other stuff that's questionable. You know, another way to test this is this. You find a mature Christian believer among you that you become friends with. Hopefully you've got somebody like that who's a mentor. And you know what you do? You take them to the places you go. You take them to the things you do and see if they would be comfortable there. I haven't ramped it up to the Holy Spirit yet. You take a good, mature believer with you into your everyday life and the things you do for recreation, et cetera, et cetera. And you see if they would be embarrassed to go with you. Okay, good. Once you've done that, then take the Holy Spirit with you, because then he can read your heart and your mind as you're in those activities. You get the idea. Look at this. My new natural reaction is to delight in the world, in the Lord. The center of a godly life. That word delight means happiness. It means, listen to this, pleasure. Pleasure. It's not based on our situation. It's not based on how well things are going with our bank account. But it's based on the fact that God, our Lord, is using me. I'm in the place I should be, and I delight in him. This is what's become my primary focus, is on the person of Jesus Christ. His goodness, his grace, his personal involvement in my life, his personal leading in my life. Writing notes down? Psalm 1, verse 2 says that the godly delight, pleasure in the law of the Lord. Our pleasure is to pursue the word of God. Why? Anybody can read a book. This could be a murder mystery. This could be a geography book. This could be a science book. Anybody can read a book. Why this book? Because in reading this book, I get to know more about him that I didn't know before. Because he decided that he... Look at all the pages I got in mine. It's big. Look how thick that is. And these pages reveal the God of the universe to me in a personal way. Almost like a love letter to me. I get to know the creator and the God of the universe. Think about that. Through these words. And that's why Psalm 1:2 says that our delight is in the law of the Lord. And then there's a second thing here in verse 7 that I want you to see. A new natural reaction brought about by the Holy Spirit. And it's this, second one. To be still and wait. Look at verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Sounds like today, doesn't it? This was David dealing with this years ago. This is the opposite of complaining and grumbling. This is the posture and discipline of God's child. You know, I've got a problem here. How well do you folks know me? How well do you think you know me? I know Jim's filled a whole file out of me psychologically, and that's scary. Adding to it daily, I think, all right? How well do you think you know me? Good. Let me tell you something about me. See if you figured this part out yet. I'm going to go home today. And you know what I said to my wife on the way to church? I said, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to be around today. She's like, oh, really? I just can't. I get home and have to eat a little something. I don't know if we're going to rest or not. But there's a time coming up about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and it strikes me. And I got to go. I got to move. I got to be busy. I got to make something happen. I don't know what it is. In fact, it's to the point that I've sit for more than 15, 20 minutes watching a TV, and you know what I have to do? I have to stand and watch the TV. And that's not just when my football team's playing, all right? Because then I stand a lot because I got to get in with my team, all right? Point of the matter is, I like to keep moving. And if something's broke, I like to get in there and fix it. And if something's not broke, I like to massage it and make it even better. And maybe that's why I cook. I cooked yesterday. It was an incredible meal. Not that it was so good, but the ingredients in it were ridiculous. And I kept looking through the spice closet thinking, what else can I put in? Calm down, Mike. Okay. The scripture says when you look at the things going on around your culture, be still and wait. A new posture for Mike as he walks with God, to be still and to wait. Let God deal with the wrong and negative that's going on. Let God deal with the sin and others. But I'm going to be silent before God, because that silent means a listening attitude. Mike has taken a lot of years to learn to be quiet and to read this book and then listen, to reread it. I'm not done. And to read it again and to shut up and listen. That's taken a lot of years. You talked to me 25 years ago, it wasn't that way. Now Mike's learned to be quiet and read this book as the love letter that comes from his God to me, just like it's written to you, and to actually pore over it and not have to read through a whole book this morning. Read through a couple paragraphs and keep a journal. Get the idea? Stay with me on this, okay? That silence is a listening attitude. That silence leads to meditation. So you continue to mull over the relationship and the things of God that they might impact your life. This being silent is waiting for this word, for God himself to refresh my inner being. You know why? Because my inner being gets beaten up out there, facing all this stuff. One news report, my inner being is violated. And when it's violated, I'm beaten up in here. And this inner being gets refreshed with a new confidence and trust in the living God who's got the ultimate victory over evil. It also assures as I am quiet before God, listen carefully, that as I'm quiet before God, it assures that when he tells me to do something, I go do it. When he tells me to do something, I know it's from him. When he opens the door, I can see it's from him. And I step in with his boldness, and I always say this, I don't know where we're going, God, but let's go do it. The fact of the matter, it's vital that I be still and wait on him for his orders and what we're to do. This morning, we're going to do something a little bit different to end. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And you know what that's all about? Good. We'll let them get set for a minute, okay? It is so difficult to delight in God like we're supposed to be tickled with our relationship with God. Think back to when you first fell in love with your spouse. That first week or two, even though it took my friend over here 8 years. We need to have a talk. 8 years. That ship could have sailed around the world. You got to get on early, buddy, okay? All right. There's Mike trying to fix something from afar. Now I've offended them. That's good. But truth of the matter is, remember how that relationship was just fun. Remember when you were delighted with it. Remember when it was the coolest thing? You couldn't even sleep at night when you were thinking about the other person. Isn't that the way it was for you? Crickets. Was it that way for you?
I don't know.
Oh, wow. Okay. When we delight in God, listen carefully, that's the heart set that we bring out there that those people don't have. We have a delighting relationship with God. You have been called to delight in the relationship you have with the Lord. It's one of the things that makes you smell and be different than them, makes you distinctive from them. And then, did you see the rest of this? I'm to be still and waiting. And to be still before him as I contemplate who he is and what he has said in his word as it affects me deeply. And I'm waiting on him to tell me what to do and who to do it with and what to say as he uses me as his tool on this earth. Do you understand that? This is big stuff. And maybe it's been a long time since you've thought that way. Maybe it's been a long time since you've actually said that this is the way I need to be for Jesus Christ. How do I always so easily slip out of that pattern and go to the world's pattern? Here's what we're going to do this morning. I have asked for some of the leadership to come forward, and if they would do so right now, I would appreciate it. Some of the elders, leadership, come on up forward, okay? They're going to stand here. Come on. Here we go. They're going to stand around here. There we go. Some go that way, some go right out. There you go. Good job. Stop. Everybody in the tracks. Good job. Thank you, guys. Listen, they and or their wives are available this morning. Here's what I'd like you to do. We've got a last song that we're going to sing. And as you look at some of these leadership, you might want to consider during the song, this is dynamic stuff. I hope you take advantage of it. You might want to, during the song, go to one of these people. And you might want to just say this to them, would you pray for me? The dynamic of having somebody pray for you in a body of believers like this, of people who claim to be followers of Christ, to know that, and I'm going to put these guys on the mark, they're going to pray for you throughout the rest of the week. For your walk and your stand and your being still and your